I could take up a lot of our time offering introductions for our two guest speakers, but I'm not going to do that because Lieutenant General Rick Lynch has become a wonderful friend of this parish. This is his fourth time speaking here, and he and his lovely wife Sarah become friends to Russ and Laura Levinson. So if you're a member here and you have not yet met or heard General Lynch, you're in for a real treat, and I hope we'll have him back again. Our other guest speaker, of course, I will be honest and tell you, I've been working on this for 2 years, and I had no end other than Lieutenant General Rick Lynch and the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I prayed that we could have a wonderful moment with this person who is well known to you as an actor. If you don't know Gary Sinise, his gifts as an actor, where have you been? But of course, many of us know of his outstanding work for military personnel and for veterans and those who serve our country around the globe. You can see briefly in the bio here, the Lieutenant Dan Band, which I'm about to say another word about, has played hundreds of shows for more than 500,000 troops and their families around the globe. And so they're about to take the stage. I'm going to share with you before they do that following tonight's service, the reason we're a little shorter than we normally would be is we will have a special event that has actually already started, an event that's been in the making since the middle of Hurricane Harvey. Mr. Sinise called and knew he was coming for this event, and it was his suggestion that we put together an event that honors first responders in our community and was open to those who would join in sponsoring this event. So the Gary Sinise Foundation, St. Martin's Episcopal Church, St. John the Divine, have put together this event together. And so right after the service tonight at the Bayou City Events Center, there will be a concert with the Gary Sinise, the Lieutenant Dan Band, Christopher Cross, the wonderful African-American gospel singer Yolanda Adams, some other special guests. The gates are open. They'll open at 6:30 officially. Concert begins at 7, and we have a few seats left. I want you to stay in your places, but there's no cost to attend this event. The wristbands to enter tonight are actually in the narthex. That's that large round table as you leave tonight. So as you leave, if you'd like to pick up a wristband, only if you plan on joining us tonight. When we gather out there tonight, we'll be having another offering to the St. Martin's Harvey Relief Fund, a big chunk of which tonight will go to first responders. We've already, through the generosity of this community of faith, St. Martin's, and also folks who've given gifts to St. Martin's, raised over $1,200,000. We've given a good bit of that money away to churches and schools from Rockport all the way over to Orange. We've given to several ministries that help those who are underserved, and we've been able to identify individuals who we could reach out to and help support them in their time of need. But tonight, we'll be making a big gift to first responders. We've already invited about 1,000 first responders who arrived at the event center earlier today. There are folks from the USO who are going to be going. So if you can join us tonight, we invite you to do so, but when you come, plan on giving to that need as well. Would you please welcome Lieutenant General Rick Lynch and actor Gary Sinise.
Thank you, Russ, for this opportunity to come back. Every day I start my day in prayer, and I thank God for all the blessings that He has sent my way. I thank God for my beautiful wife, Sarah, our children, our grandchildren, and I thank God for bringing Gary Sinise into my life almost exactly 10 years ago. I was deployed into combat operations in Iraq, commanding the 3rd Infantry Division, and Gary came, like he did on 4 separate occasions, into Iraq and twice into Afghanistan, to lift our spirits. And I knew immediately I was in the presence of a selfless servant. After my Bible study, I asked God to be with me. I asked God to allow me to be more like Gary Sinise, because he is what we all should be, focused on the service of others. We're here to honor our veterans. Sarah and I have the privilege of working at the Bush Institute and the Military Services Initiative. We did a study of the American population, and 76% of the American population say they have no idea what our veterans are going through because less than 1% of us have served. So what we all have to do is make sure we educate the rest of the American people and make sure they honor our veterans as well. Just to give you a snapshot, as we speak, we have 20 million American veterans, folks who have sacrificed themselves and their family sacrifice to protect our freedoms and our way of life. Thank God we still have over 550,000 World War II veterans like President Bush. And sir, thank you again for your services and your sacrifice. We have many Korean War veterans. We have 6.5 million Vietnam veterans. And I always make it a point to single out our Vietnam veterans. I went to combat on four separate occasions. When I came back, a grateful American public would stop me in the airport and thank me for my service. That didn't happen when our Vietnam-era veterans returned. Candidly, they had to change in the nearest airport out of their uniform for fear of being spat on by an ungrateful American public. So I'm going to ask the Vietnam veterans in the audience to please stand up. For all of you, I apologize on behalf of an ungrateful nation, but just know your services and your sacrifices are most appreciated. Welcome home. And there are 7.3 million veterans since Desert Shield and Desert Storm. So let me give you a context of what they're going through. I did have four deployments into Iraq. I have a sense of what's taking place. During my time as commander of the 3rd Division, 153 soldiers died on the battlefield. On a place I placed them, 800 more came back in pieces with visible wounds or invisible wounds. We have 1,650 amputees post 9/11. It's estimated that somewhere between 14 and 20% of our veteran population post 9/11 have post-traumatic stress disorder. Gary and I were recently at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, and there's a plaque on the wall that says, "No one goes to war and comes back unchanged." So you gotta know that as you're dealing with a veteran from any of our nation's conflicts. No one knows more about what's going on in our veteran population and our first responder population, Gary Sinise, because he's out and about all the time. Rommel, World War II, used the phrase Fingerspitzengefühl, the feel of the battle. And there's no human being I know that spends more time out with our veterans and our active duty military and our first responders and Gary Sinise. So, sir, I'd like to ask you, how do you sense in your travels the need for support to our veteran population?
Well, thank you, Rick, and thank you, everyone, for having me. It's an honor to be here with President Bush and Mrs. Bush. It's just wonderful to see you again, and thank you so much for being here. Yes, I've spent quite a number of years traveling to the war zones and the hospitals and to military bases around the world. Spent a lot of time with our veteran population. One, I think if I had to pick one ingredient, one common ingredient, would be that there is seems to be a fairly large disconnect between the general population of the United States and its military. Unless you have a personal connection to someone who's served in the military, the general population does not know what our military and our veteran community are going through, where the needs are, what can be done to serve those who have served us. And so, as someone who is in the public eye, I found this way that I could use this spotlight that I have being on television or in film to serve. And I must say that there's a series of events that have happened that have brought me to this place. First of all, veterans in my family. On my side of the family, my grandfather, World War I, he drove an ambulance in World War I. My two uncles served in World War II, one as a navigator on a B-17 bomber over Europe, the other as on a LST, a landing ship tank, in the invasions of Okinawa and Iwo Jima. And then my dad served in the Navy during the Korean War. When I met my wife, she had two brothers, both Vietnam veterans, one combat helicopter pilot, 800 combat hours, the other an officer, West Point graduate, two tours in Vietnam as a platoon leader, then as a company commander, a captain, came back, taught at West Point. He was actually teaching as a TAC officer when Rick was a young cadet there. And then he went on, and as a lieutenant colonel, he rewrote the leadership manual for the Army. He unfortunately passed away in 1983, but not before I got to know him, his brother, who was a combat helicopter pilot, who is still alive, and my brother-in-law, Jack Treese, who was a combat medic in Vietnam. I learned so much from the Vietnam veterans in my family as a young person in the 70s and early 80s. And those seeds were planted early on in me as to how not to treat our veterans, ever. Then I got to play one in Forrest Gump, and it was an honor to play the Vietnam veteran, Lieutenant Dan Taylor, which led me to working with our wounded through the Disabled American Veterans Organization in the 90s. But then I was called to a new level of service when our country was attacked on September 11th, 2001. And something happened. The seeds that were planted in the 80s and the 90s grew into this full-time commitment to ensure that those who were deploying to Iraq and Afghanistan would have everything they need, unlike what happened to our Vietnam veterans when they came home. We can never let that happen again to our veterans, to have them return to a divided nation who turned its back on them. I made a commitment to try to do everything I could to make sure that this new generation of warriors, this new generation of Lieutenant Dans coming home from the battlefield injured, would know that they were appreciated. Little did I know at that time that it would blossom into what has become a full-time devotion to making sure that our veterans have the services they need. And so I tried to reach out wherever I could, and I started with the USO, and I started deploying on many, many trips here and there. I started to reach out to many different military charities to see what I could do, and that all grew into what I have now, which is the Gary Sinise Foundation. And the bottom line here is that I know where my freedom comes from. When you travel around the world and you go to these places that, like Iraq, Afghanistan, the border between North and South Korea, places that don't really know what freedom is, they've never had it. For example, standing on the border between North and South Korea on the DMZ, you can stand there, and I can be as close to a North Korean guard as Rick is to me right now. And the people behind me are free. They appreciate their freedom. They know what freedom is. South Korea is one of the great economies of the world. But this person over here, on the other side of that little line, is a slave. He's done nothing but worship the supreme leader over there, and he has no concept of what living free means. So I value my freedom. I know it's given me everything. I know where it comes from. I honor the people that provide it for me, and if I can continue to serve and give back to them, it's a blessing. It's the way that I can serve my country.
God bless you. So I'm convinced we now have evolved into a nation of talkers and doers. I'm almost to the point now where I see a bumper sticker on the back of a car that says, "We support our troops." I want to stop the car and ask the driver specifically, "What are you doing?" Right? But Gary Sinise and the Gary Sinise Foundation demonstrate what right looks like when you actually do something. Sarah and I are blessed to be on Gary's advisory board and ambassador of the Gary Sinise Foundation. Candidly, it's the most important thing we do. But just let me paint the picture over the last 3 weeks to show the impact Gary and his foundation have on Americans. 3 weeks ago, we were together at the National World War II Museum, because under their program Soaring Valor, they bring World War II vets back to the museum, and this time we brought high school students in as well, so that the high school students could experience history through the eyes of the people who lived it. Phenomenal experience. And just 2 days ago, Sarah and I were blessed to be at a dedication of a home for Alan Babin. Alan Babin, corporal, 2003, airborne medic, saw one of his wounded soldiers hurt 20 meters away. He got up and ran rather than stay hidden in a protected position. Got up and ran, got shot in the abdomen, has had 90 surgeries since then, is paralyzed from the neck down. But 2 days ago, Gary and his foundation put Alan Babin in a mortgage-free home. A mortgage-free home. Gary inspires people to action. He's got these things he calls the Invincible Spirit events, where he goes to medical facilities around the world and plays with Lieutenant Dan Band for the service members and their families and lifts their spirit. To date, they touch the lives of over 78,000 people. And you'll see tonight, if you don't go to the concert, you're making a mistake. You'll see tonight how he and his band lift the spirits of everybody around him. He's played over 300 times, he and his band, across our nation. So, Gary, thank you, first off, for what you and your foundation do. But please talk to us about how you became not just a talker, like a lot of your colleagues out in Hollywood, by the way, not just a talker, but also a doer. What made you be that way? And you gave us some background already.
Yes. So, as I said, the seeds were planted in the 80s and 90s, but the real catalyst for just diving in full force was this devastating attack on our country on September 11th. I remember going to church on Friday. It was President Bush called for a national day of prayer on that Friday. And I remember standing in our church, and our priest said, "This has been a tough week." And then he talked about service as a great healer. And like so many of us, my heart was just breaking at that time. The images of what happened implanted on my brain and never left, watching the devastation on that day. I heard President Bush, what he said. That we should do something. And I never forgot that. And when I heard the priest say service is a great healer, I took action. And service is a great healer. Little did I know that just a short time later, I would be handed a television show, CSI New York. And as an actor, you're always worrying about what's your next job. You know, you're doing one job and you're not even thinking about it. You're just worrying about the next one. What's it going to be? But I'm on my first trip to Korea, playing, this is in 2004, playing for the troops over there. And I was offered this television series. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. I'd been used to playing different parts, but I thought, well, maybe it would be good to give it a try. So I took the series. It ended up being the best thing that I ever could have done because I was ramping up as much as I could my support of our military and veteran community, just trying to reach out wherever I could to do that. And then I had this show where I owned a piece of the action. And that was pretty good. And it lasted for 9 years. So I went from somebody who was taking action wherever I could and struggling to do it because I didn't have the financial resources. I would reach out to anybody I knew to get them to throw in and help me out. All of a sudden, I had my own resources. So I could use those resources to start a foundation, create a foundation. And the more I found, the more that I did, the more I wanted to do, the more that broken heart healed, the more I could see that we were making a difference, the more I wanted to make a difference. And that's how I know Rick and so many other good people that I've met throughout this life of service. I'll leave you one story. On September 11th, the towers came down. And 2 years later, I went on my first overseas USO tour, and I sat down next to a man on a C-130 as we're on our way up to Baghdad. And I sat next to him. He was an older gentleman. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. Sat down next to him. He had a button on his jacket. And there was a firefighter and a police officer on this button. And I said, what's the button? He said, those are my sons. And they were both killed on September 11th. One a firefighter, one a police officer. Buildings came down on him. And I spent a lot of time with him. His name is John Vigiano. He's a retired, legendary New York City firefighter. And he was a Marine. And John said, come to New York and come and visit the firehouse where my son was stationed. So 2 months after our trip, I went to New York and visited the FDNY there. They lost six firefighters in this firehouse on September 11th. Meeting John and seeing his community and getting to know his community, who were all pouring themselves into as much service as they could to heal their broken hearts, I was inspired by them. And I remember John saying to me, he was down digging in the rubble for days and days and days to try to find his sons. And he said to me, people from all over the world came to Ground Zero. They were handing out water and food as the construction workers and firefighters and people were going in and out of the site. And he saw so much good surrounding Ground Zero that he said so much more good came out of that event than evil. And I never forgot that. He's inspired me so much, as so many others have, to continue to give back. And I always like to talk about him because he's a great, great man, and I've met so many great people in this service work who inspire me every day and motivate me every day, and I just go out and try to spread that around a little bit.
So I believe the most important piece of furniture in your house is your mirror, and every day we ought to be looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, are we truly giving back? Are we truly selfless servants like Gary Sinise? We're a nation at risk. External threats that you hear about all the time with Russia, Iran, North Korea, ISIS. More disturbing to me are the internal threats. Domestic terrorism like we saw in a church not far from here a week ago and we saw in Las Vegas. Divisive people and unfortunately an unbelievable lack of respect for law enforcement personnel. So we got a problem as a nation. But as Rick Shinseki taught me, you can't wring your hands while you're rolling up your sleeves. So what are we going to do? Right now we've got 11,000 service members in Afghanistan protecting our freedoms and our way of life, 5,500 in Iraq and Kuwait. We got 500 in Syria, and it's not going to get any better. So what we have to do, our charge to keep, is to continue to support our veteran population, all 20 million of them. Calvin Coolidge told us, a nation that forgets its defenders will soon itself be forgotten. So, Gary, you've done so much, but there's so much more we still need to do. What can we as a nation, not just this congregation, but we as a nation, do to truly support our veteran population?
People ask me all the time, you know, what should I do? I always just recommend if every neighborhood, if every community, if every city, if every town and every state, individuals in all those communities and everything took a little bit of responsibility to themselves to seek out, identify, and reach out, lay a hand on the military families and the veterans in that community, the challenge facing our veteran population will be greatly reduced. Because we as citizens, the ones who benefit from the freedom provided by these brave defenders, we can take some responsibility ourselves. I don't believe the government can nor should do it all. Thankfully, there are over 40,000 some military charities out there that are filling some of the gaps. I'm just one of them. But I always recommend, if you know veterans, if you know military families, or maybe a Gold Star family in your neighborhood, there may be a Blue Star family in your neighborhood, maybe somebody dealing with a physical challenge because of their service, reach out and touch them, and you can make a difference in their lives.
Can we ever do enough to show our gratitude for our veteran population?
I don't think we can ever do enough. For those who provide our freedom for us, stand up. They're going to be called and called and called again. It's a dangerous world. But we can always try to do a little bit more. If we try to do a little bit more, we'll get a lot more done.
God bless you, Gary Sinise. I love you.